Welcome to the Let Good Things In show. I'm your host, Amanda Acker. I am so happy you are here. At the Let Good Things In show, we talk all about second chances, resiliency, following your intuition, and even music. Listen to hear stories of hope and to be inspired. Remember, you are stronger than you think. Let's dive in. Hi, my amazing humans. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm really excited to be bringing you today's guests. This conversation was one of my favorites. But before I do that, just a couple of things. If you're loving the Let Good Things In show, make sure to go over to Apple and leave me a review because that will help more people find the show. The other thing today, this is something I've never done on my show before, but I am blown away by this new platform that I've been using to find incredible guests and also finding incredible podcasts to be a guest on. It is called Podmatch. And if you're looking for guests or to be a guest, I highly recommend signing up. You can do so using my affiliate link, which is podmatch.com/signup/AmandaAcker. So now it's time for me to introduce this amazing guest. Her name is Shelly Winner. Shelly was introduced to alcohol by her dad at age 11. Her drug and alcohol use grew from there to trafficking in drugs in her 30s. She was arrested and received a 4-year sentence in a federal institution in California. Believe it or not, it turned out to be one of the best things to happen to her. She got clean, gave birth to her wonderful baby boy, and now even works at a high-tech company. She advocates for formerly incarcerated people around the country. And let me tell you, she is truly advocating for formerly incarcerated people. She has done a TEDx. She's been on other podcasts and other speaking engagements where she spreads the message that formerly incarcerated people deserve a good paying job and the opportunity to be productive members of society. So without further ado, let's dive in to today's episode. Hi, Shelly. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here today.
I'm really excited to have you here because I was talking about before we started recording, I found you through a Google alert and I was so impressed with the interview you did with PBS. I just had to have you on here. So I'm so excited that you agreed to do it and you're here. So yay. But with that being said, could you just introduce yourself and tell us, you know, a little bit of your story and where you've come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Shelly Winner. I'm from Sacramento, California, born and raised. I am also formerly incarcerated. And I grew up in an environment where, you know, my father was an addict in and out of prison. Most of my childhood got me drunk for the first time at the age of 11. Wow. And needless to say, I followed in his footsteps, and I became an addict myself, and later on a drug dealer. I ended up getting arrested, and that was a huge turning point in my life. You know, they say once you hit the bottom, you know, the only way to go is up.
Yeah.
And I had hit my bottom, and so for me, it was like, okay, this isn't the life I want anymore. I don't want to be in and out of prison like my father. I don't want to be in bondage to drugs anymore. What do I got to do to get better? And the key thing for anybody is, you know, education, right?
Yeah.
When I say education, I mean learning a new way of life, learning a new way to think, a new way to respond. And so that had to start for me with treatment. So I, got myself into treatment and I learned some invaluable skill sets and tools that I was able to leverage and kind of rewired my brain and my thinking. And so, you know, I've been, since I've been out of prison, my life has just been, just in only, 5 years. I've been out since July of 2016, and within 5 years, I have bought a home.
Wow.
I've gotten married. I work. I'm a sales executive at Microsoft.
Nice.
Which that was a struggle in itself, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really my story in a nutshell, and I think my story is going from prison to Microsoft.
Yeah, that's amazing. I, you know, when you talk about working for Microsoft, like I, as a, you know, fellow convicted felon over here, I would be afraid to even apply for a job at such a big corporation just because of that, you know, because I know they're going to ask. So I avoid corporate type jobs because of that. So how did you get from prison, you know, what happened while you were in prison that led you to, when you got out, to even have the confidence to go after something that big?
Right. So when I was in my addiction, you know, I think anytime we're in our addictions, our self-esteem is really, really low.
Yeah.
You know, and, but for me, when I went through a few different treatment programs. The one of the biggest life-changing programs that I did, it's a faith-based program. I'm a spiritual person. I believe in God. And so I knew that if I was going to get through this and come out on top, that I was going to have to get my life right with God. Mm. And so there was this treatment program called Adult and Teen Challenge, located in North Dakota, Mandan, North Dakota. And I was out in North Dakota at this time because I moved out there for the oil boom.
Oh.
Originally started bartending. One of my coworkers, I had been sober for, I think, about 6 months on my own, like, will. Like, I hadn't had it. I didn't go to treatment or anything. But yeah, but I, you know, you get to the point where you're, like, sick of living in bondage to a substance, you know, and there were bouts in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get sober. But it never lasted very long. So anyways, yeah. I go to North Dakota and I start bartending there. And my coworker pulls out a pipe and says, "Hey, you want to smoke?" And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'll just smoke it this one time. And then I'll, you know, I won't touch it again. But that's not how it works when you're dealing with it.
No.
And you basically just awoken that demon you put to sleep. Now he's in full force. So, he's not going away. So I started, you know, using a lot more. And to the point where I was started selling to support my habit and pay my bills, and then ended up getting arrested by the federal government. But anyway, so
wow.
So after my arrest, I was scared. I was, you know, when you're dealing with the federal government, you're dealing with mandatory minimum sentencing guidelines, and it's bullshit how these, you know, guidelines are. They need to be reformed. But basically, because I had sold 2 ounces of meth to a confidential informant, that 2 ounce mark, I think it was like over anything over 50 grams of meth puts you in the 10-year mark, the 10-year minimum sentencing guideline for two ounces of meth. That's not very much.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like I'm, you know, Al Capone or, you know, Scarface over here. I mean, and here I am looking at 10 years. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is insane. Like 10 years of my life gone. Right.
Yeah. And so, that would be a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so for me, it was like, okay, I need to figure out how to deal with all this. And the only way that I know who can truly help me is God, whether I get 10 years or not. And so I enrolled myself. There's a treatment program right down the street, and they actually accepted pregnant women. And not
you were pregnant? You were pregnant.
I was pregnant. Oh. I found out I was pregnant right after my arrest.
Oh, geez.
So that was another reason for me to get myself into treatment, because there's no, like, I had to break this generational curse. I had to break it. It was passed down from my grandpa's dad to my grandpa. My grandpa passed it on to my dad, and so on and so forth. And same thing with my mom. My mom, she dabbled with drugs here and there, but she never was like my dad. My mom's addiction was more her boyfriends and men, you know? And so,
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so I, you know, for me, it was, I've got to do something about this, because if I don't change and I don't learn a new way of life, I am going to be the same type of parent to my son that my father was when I get out. Yeah. So how do I change? I don't know. But I know a good place to start, and that's treatment and asking God to help me. And so I got into treatment, and boy, it was a rough time for me. First time I've ever gone to treatment. Almost got kicked out of treatment because I had a lot of baggage, a lot of anger issues, and I was a very negative person. And so my view of the world was negative. I hated all the girls there. They irritated my soul. And it wasn't necessarily them. It was me, you know, and because I chose to focus on everything negative about them. And it got to the point where I almost got kicked out of that program. And I said, you know what? I can't do this. My probation officer came to Teen Challenge and she said, what are you doing? You are pregnant, about ready to give birth to this child. And here you are getting in a physical fight. Like, I will make sure after you give birth to your son that you never see him again. And I don't know if her, if that was, you know, true or not, like if that threat would, you know, she could actually do that, but I didn't know. And I wasn't going to take a chance. So I begged her, I said, please talk to Teen Challenge. Ask them to give me another chance. I promise I will change. Like, you won't hear another peep out of me. And so she went back, she talked to the executive, or the program director, and they decided to give me another chance.
That's amazing. And you're so lucky.
Yeah.
That had to have been so scary. Like, I just to relate to, you know, being pregnant, I was pregnant when I was incarcerated. And whenever I went to take my piss test to get work release before I went in, I couldn't pee. So I was stuck in main population with no work release for 30 days. And just that fear, you know, when you have this unborn child, like you don't know what could happen. Like, that's so scary. And I couldn't imagine someone telling me while I'm going through this and like very scary, difficult period of life, like you're trying to get sober, you're facing a 10-year sentence, and now someone's threatening to take your child from you. So
yeah,
that's amazing that they gave you a second chance, because that's,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that saved your life on many levels as well.
It really did. And at that point, that was another very pivotal turning point in my life, because as soon as she told me they're going to give you a second chance,
I just started
bawling. And then I went up to my room and I dropped to my knees and I just asked God. I said, God, I don't know how to change, but I know that you can help me. And I'm asking you now, in the name of Jesus, change my heart. Help me become the woman that you've called me to be. Help me to see through eyes of love. Help me to stop being so negative, Lord God. I'm begging you. And the next thing I did was I went through my Bible and I found verses that reinforced, you know, that positive behavior. I found scriptures talking about, you know, let your words be edifying. I found scripture to not, you know, but put up scriptures about not judging others and to love others and to, you know, just all these various scriptures. And so every morning when I woke up, I would pray the same prayer. God, please help me to change. Please soften my heart. And I'd read the scriptures. I'd close my eyes. I'd meditate on those scriptures. And let me tell you, that worked. It didn't happen right away. Okay. It wasn't like this automatic transformation, like, you know, but it was a process. And slowly but surely, my heart started to change. And all the negative things that I noticed in everyone at the program, I really started noticing the beauty in these women.
Wow.
And I started to develop relationships with them, and where they hated me, I hated them. And there was like no relationship there. We started becoming friends, and it was amazing And it felt so good. Like, it felt like this huge weight that had been on my chest that I didn't even realize was there was being lifted. And the more that he lifted it, the more freedom I experienced, because I was no longer held in bondage by my negativity and my anger, you know. And so my relationships with these women began to flourish. And so by the time I had to turn myself in to start my sentence, I mean, we were just like hugging and crying. Aww. I mean, I still stay in contact with all of them. I actually just went to North Dakota. I flew there on this last Saturday, and I spoke. Oh. Yeah, I went there to speak at that challenge I was at and share my story with them. Their minds were blown. They were so just inspired and just so happy to hear, hear the success that I've achieved. You know, one student said, you know, hearing you speak today shows me that there is hope.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about, you know, sharing your story, and especially that you got to go back to where you were to help the women who are currently there to see that, you know, even though you had a hard time at first, that you broke through that and how you did that. I'm sure that inspired so many of them. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, you had touched on fear. You know, you said you had fear. You have fear that to apply for any corporate type positions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So fear, that is something else I learned, is that fear is the number one destroyer of success. Fear is the one thing in life that will continually hold you back and never allow yourself to achieve your true potential. And the way that I learned about fear was in another program called Defy Ventures.
I've heard of them.
Yep.
They're not here in Pittsburgh, but I know who they are.
Yeah. So after God had done that work in me at Teen Challenge, I mean, that was my foundation. So anything else on top of that, like, was just added, like was extra awesomeness, but the foundation had been laid in Jesus. And so for me, you know, I was ready to go to prison. I mean, there was some fear, because, you know, you watch shows like Locked Up, Raw, and you're like, oh
yeah, like, I know, it's like, I'm not going there, right?
what am I getting, you know, into here? Like, what's this experience going to be like? But I knew, like, God placed this spirit of peace upon me. And I really just felt like, it didn't matter that I was going to prison, even if it is a dark place, that God was going to use me to be a light. And so having that perspective when I got into prison, you know, I right away, first thing I did was I went to the church and I found, you know, my fellow Christian brothers and, or not brothers, sister.
I was like, wait, what jail were you at?
Found my, you know, fellow Christian sisters and just connected with them right away. And then just kept on that path. And so my whole experience in prison, I think, you know, the Lord really protected me. I had favor with the correctional officers, and I was a model inmate, and I didn't get in any physical altercations, you know, and I was there for about a year and a half. And so what I did is, because God had changed my heart so drastically, that I wanted to continue on that path and just continue improving. And the prison that I went to had so many rehabilitative classes and programs. And I was
like,
yes, I'm in every program, every class that I can get into, I'm doing it. I wanted to do it all.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'd never been taught any other way. And here was now my opportunity to make the most of my time here and to really leave prison a better person than when I came in, you know? And Defy Ventures was another one of the programs that I did. Catherine Hoke was the CEO. She's a very good friend of mine. She brought the program into that prison. It was a pilot program there too. And so I think close to 80 to 100 people at the beginning of the program had enrolled in it. And by the time we were done, you know, people, there was like maybe 25 of us left. It was a 9-month, it was an intensive program, but I was so determined to keep pushing forward. And, you know, and so it was one of the best programs, and it taught me about fear. Mm-hmm. It taught me, that pretty much that, you know, those self-limiting thoughts and those self-limiting beliefs, we call them SLBs, SLTs, that's really a part of life. There's nothing you can do to get rid of that. But what you can do is recognize when they're, you know, entering into your mind, and then you can challenge them. And so that challenging part is crucial, because your brain will tell you, oh, don't do the PBS show, because there's going to be people at work that, you know, may judge you. And what if your customers find out your true story and they say they don't want to work with you because you're formerly incarcerated? Now this TV show is going to go national. And what if your coworkers, you know, everyone's going to know now. And what if your coworkers treat you differently? I mean, these are all legitimate fears, but are they reality? Maybe, maybe not. But you know what? I can't worry about that now. I have to worry about this present moment. And if I get to that point and those fears do become reality, then I'll deal with it then. But if you worry about that now, then you're only going to limit yourself from your true potential and from these amazing opportunities. And so, and honestly, like, how many times when we do have fear, does it come true?
Oh, like maybe 5% of the time.
Exactly. So all of that worry, all of that wasted, you know, stress and that fear is really just limiting you. And so Defy Ventures taught me to dance with it. You're not going to get rid of it, but you can dance with it. And so you just accept and acknowledge that fear. And then you use your energies to challenge it and to say, you know what? I am smart enough. I am good enough. Oh, well, so if I get up on that stage and I give a presentation and I make a mistake, you know, what's big deal? Nobody died.
Right. That's
There may be people that judge me, but you know what? That's something that they got to deal with, am I the smartest person? I may not be the smartest person, but you know what? I'm courageous. I persevere. I'm ambitious. I'm a hard worker. You know, I may not, Microsoft's got some of the smartest people in the world working for them. I'm not one of the smartest people in the world. I mean, I'm not saying I'm smart, right?
Yeah.
But you know, and so that was another fear, like, how am I going to measure up to my coworkers?
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, I have my own set of talents and skills that they don't have because of my experiences. Right. And because I went to prison and I lost everything, that has built my character. And that has built this, I have this grit about me and I have this drive about me. And, you know, it's not like I'm doing brain surgery. Yeah. I mean, if, you know, it's something that I can learn. It's, you know, right now I'm doing sales. You know, it's not brain surgery, like I said, and it's, you know, it may take me a little bit longer to learn, but I know eventually I'll get it.
Right.
And I did, I have, and I've still been hanging on 5 years later.
That's awesome. Yeah. When I listened to your TEDx talk, some of the things because you talked about, you know, businesses hiring formerly incarcerated, and you brought up, you know, loyalty and how loyal we are as employees. And I related to that so much because I'm the most loyal employee you're going to get because you're so grateful, right? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, like, this employer actually saw me as good enough despite what I feel about myself because of my past, you know, and you're so right about the loyalty and, you know, some of the statistics that you brought up in there. I had, you know, I feel really bad. I had my notebook. I had all these notes written down and it's not here.
I have the statistics.
So what are the statistics when it comes to, you know, how many formerly incarcerated people are in the workforce? Like, what are those statistics?
So right now there are, there was 70 million, but that number has jumped. There's 77 million today, people today with some sort of a criminal record.
Wow.
Okay. 30% of companies will not hire someone with a criminal record.
Right.
And so the amount of people that have a criminal record, to put it into perspective, you know, that is like the entire population of California and Texas combined.
Wow.
So you are limited. Basically, it's a third of the population is now being limited to the same opportunities that the rest of America has access to. And so I don't know about you, but that sure seems like oppression to me.
And yeah, it's hard. And you know, like when you go to the job and you know, to fill out an application online, like I mentioned earlier, like if I see, have you been convicted? I literally just go, oh, never mind. Even though I know I could do that job. You know, and I just think that's not fair. There's a lot of things about being a formerly incarcerated person that aren't fair, but, you know, not allowing us to get gainful employment, you know, beyond McDonald's or,
right.
You know, there's even some fast food places that won't hire you if you have a record, you know, and it's not right.
Yep.
It's not right. And it hurts. It makes you feel less than.
Oh, exactly. It destroys those stigmas, like absolutely destroy our you know what's the word I'm looking at? The way we feel about it, our self-esteem. I couldn't think of that word. The esteem about yourself. You know, it does. And that was something when I got out of prison that I knew I was going to have to battle these stigmas. But because of Defy Ventures, I knew not to buy into them or believe them. I knew they were false. I knew they were lies. I mean, and I know that these stigmas and that these companies who don't hire formerly incarcerated that buy into these stigmas are all based off of what? Fear.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Fear. Comes full circle.
Yeah. It's fear. It's fear that we're not going to be smart enough, that we're unskilled, that we lack, you know, talent, that we will steal, that we will cause violence in the workplace. I mean, the list goes on and on of all these, you know, things that people assume about somebody who's been to prison, but that's so far from the truth. Yeah. That is so far from the truth. And, you know, so for me, when I went through that discrimination with Microsoft, because I didn't just get the job. I had to fight for my job with them because I got the job offer. And as soon as they ran that background check, they rescinded my job offer. And I'm so glad they did. I am so glad they did. You know why?
Why?
Because had I not had to fight them, I wouldn't have the platform that I have today to speak out against it because I would be hiding my background. I would never talk about it because I would be in fear of losing my job.
Yeah.
I don't have that fear anymore. So now, you know, I don't have to hide anything and I can talk about my story. You know, that PBS show that I just did.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft gave me approval to do that show.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, right? And so, and it's a story. That struggle is another story that adds this element to my personal story that makes it more inspiring for others, that shows others, like, look what happened when this girl who just got out of prison, this little girl, you know, stood up to this tech giant, didn't let fear hold her back. And look what she achieved.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll give, you know, I have to give, you know, give glory to God because, you know, he supernaturally opened these doors. Now, I was courageous enough to walk through them and not let fear hold me back.
Yeah, that's I say that's the hardest part, you know. It's like you. So, what would you tell somebody? Like, well, I mean, I did sort of what you did, but not in a big corporation. But, what would you tell someone who has a record, who has that fear? Because I know that fear kept me stuck for almost over a decade of my life, you know. So, what would you tell someone like me a couple years ago, where I'm just like, oh, I'm afraid, like I don't know what to do. Like,
I would say, well, what are you so afraid of? And has that fear, has it happened? Well, no, but it could happen. Well, worry about it then. Worry about it when it happens. Don't worry about it now. There's no point. There's no point. You will continue to stay stuck as long as you let fear control. You know, do the things that you think would be impossible and just see what happens. I did, you know, and here I am today, 5 years later, working for Microsoft in my dream job. My life has drastically changed. I have, you know, like I said, I bought a home.
Yeah.
I, you know, have college fund set up for my son.
Awesome.
I have a retirement account. What?
Right. Like, what is that? That's cool. Yeah. Like me with mine, like, oh, I have an HSA. This is great.
I know, right? I have great medical insurance, mm-hmm. not just Medi-Cal,
yeah.
you know? And, you know, all of this, you know, there was a lot of fear. Even when I had to challenge Microsoft, there was a lot of fear, like, ooh, I don't know if I should do this because what if I win? Are they going to retaliate against me? And then yeah. if I, you know, when I get there, everyone's going to know and they're going to treat me so differently. And so what I told myself was that could possibly happen. They could retaliate against you, but, you know, just cross that bridge when you get there. And if they do treat you differently, kill them with kindness, kill them with kindness, show them love. And eventually those feelings that they have. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't continue to, if I was going to be mean to somebody and they kept showing me love and kindness, I don't think I could continue to stay mean.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, depending on the person, might take a while, but yeah, I agree. I mean, after a while where you're just nice and you're helping the person despite their aggression or whatever they have towards you, like right, it helps.
Yeah, definitely. Because you got to understand that you can't control anybody else, but you can control yourself.
Right.
And a lot of times when people respond in a negative way or are mean, it's not you, it's them. And they're going through something and they're struggling with something. And we don't know their stories, right?
Yeah.
But we know that there's got to be something that's causing that negative behavior.
Yeah.
And you've got to be the bigger person, you know,
yeah.
God's has me operating on a higher frequency now. And so therefore I need to act accordingly. And, you know, so that's really, has been, huge for me, especially getting to achieving what I've achieved in life so far, because there was a time when I did start and, a group of my coworkers actually, were jealous of me and tried to get me fired, because I had gotten promoted there. I had just started at the store. Within 2 months, I was voted MVP. And then within 6 months, I got my first promotion.
Wow.
And so there, you know, everybody that had been at seven applicants had applied for that position. And a few of them had been at that store for years and had been waiting to get promoted. And I beat them all out. Needless to say, they weren't happy about that. Right. And so at one point they kind of banded together and tried to get me in trouble, which it didn't work, you know. And what happened was my managers saw exactly what was going on. I mean, there was no denying what their motives were.
Yeah.
And so they brought me into the office and they said, hey, we just want to let you know, we know what's going on and we just want to make sure you're okay because, you're a great employee. Mm-hmm. We love having you here. And we just want to make sure that, you know, you're not going anywhere. And I said, you know what? Haters is going to hate. Haters is going to hate. Nothing I can do about that. I said, don't worry about it. You know, I have a way that I can deal with this. And so what I ended up doing is having a one-on-one with each one of my teammates. And I just sat down and I said, hey, you know, I want to have a better working relationship with you. And I would, you know, for me, feedback is very important. Feedback is, you know, getting feedback is how we get better and improve.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what is some feedback you'd give me so I can be a better teammate? I can be a better coworker. And I just let them tell me. And no matter what they said, I just didn't take it, you know, I didn't take it personal. I didn't get offended or upset.
Yeah.
And then I showed gratitude towards them for, you know, giving me that feedback and thank them, you know. So, and that really changed my relationship with each one of them. Now, a normal person would have said, oh, forget them. But you can't. If you want to rise to the top, you've got to change your behaviors. There's a reason why they are not where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. I am where I'm at today because I changed my thinking and my behaviors and the way that I respond, and I stopped letting fear hold me back.
Man, I'm going to take your advice. Fear is going in the trash. I still have it, you know, and you know, that was really good advice, you know, because when you feel the fear, but you do it anyway, you know, because you know, or, you know, as long as you're not like going to end up like hurt physically or hurt somebody else, like if that fear is not a primal fear, it's just your mind psyching you out about something because you think this could happen or that could happen. Like just rip the Band-Aid off, right? Just do it because what's the worst that can happen?
Right. And if you do. If you do fail, I never think of failing as like really failing.
Yeah.
It's really not failing. It's anytime you learn from something and you grow, then how is that failing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but you gotta go for it, you know? You've got to challenge yourself and you are going to be so amazed at what you can achieve when you do. I would have never in a million years thought that I would be working at Microsoft one day.
Yeah.
I never thought that I would win Microsoft. I never thought I would have been promoted. I never thought I'd be a homeowner. You know, these were all things that just to me just seemed way out of my reach. Mm-hmm. But I didn't let fear hold me back. Even buying my house, I was scared.
Yeah, it was scary.
Oh my gosh. And annoying to say the least, like everything they need, like they want every single financial statement, you know, your 401k, then they have to like, they do your background or your credit checks. And it's like, they want every day, they want statements and, you know, just, I was like, oh my goodness. And then, you know, you're walking into this massive purchase and it's scary, but you know what? I wanted to be a homeowner and I said, all right, you know, God just, you know, help guide me through this process. You know, if this is your will, you're going to open this door for me and I'm going to walk through it.
That's awesome. That's awesome, yeah. Shelly. I really appreciate you coming on, like I said earlier, and sharing your story and sharing, you know, how you were able to overcome your fear and just go for it anyway. That's just so inspiring to me. So I know it's going to be inspiring to my listeners too. So if people wanted to hear more from you, Shelly, where could they find you?
Yeah. So I'm on social media. I think I'm the only Shelly Winner, Shelley, and then last name Winner, like I'm the winner I won. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. they can also reach me. I have an email account. It's shelly.winner at Gmail. And so that's another way to, LinkedIn's a great place. I'm always looking for more connections on LinkedIn to improve my algorithms.
Yeah. Gotta love the algorithms.
Yeah. Yeah. So, those are the two or the three, I'd say main ways. I'm old school. I'm still on Facebook. So
yeah, I am too.
I remember when MySpace came out.
Yep. Me too. That was the thing. And you could make it all like you could put music on your page. Okay. Well, that's awesome. And I'll have all that in the show notes as well for everyone too. So you can get to Shelley. And I just have one more question for you. And that is, what would be your number one tip for our listeners today to allow the good things into their lives?
My number one tip would be to give people a second chance, not just formerly incarcerated, but people in general. At the end of the day, we're all humans and we all make mistakes. And, if it wasn't for second chances, I definitely wouldn't be sitting here talking to you on this podcast. And so I think that, if you are, somebody that does the hiring at a company, I would really encourage you to think about bringing some formerly incarcerated people into your company. Be that advocate to stand up for it. Sometimes it just takes that one person. I was that one person that stood up and said, this isn't right. And, look what I've achieved today. So, try to be more open to, like I said, second chances and also, hiring formerly incarcerated.
That was a great tip. Thank you so much, Shelley, for being here again. It was a pleasure having you. And as a reminder to everyone listening, remember, you're stronger than you think, and you can have the life you imagine, regardless of your past. Make sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the show, and I will talk to y'all soon.